Today's Shir is Masechta Menachos Daf Chaf Gimel. We will begin Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Itma, the third line. Itma, Kaimitz the Minchas Chayte Sheshimnai. So as we've learned many times, the carbon of a Minchas Chayte normally is just brought flour alone. Now the question is, if somebody put oil on that carbon Minchas Chayte. Rabbi Yochanan Apostle, Rav Yochanan holds it's possible. The Shlokish Amar, the Shlokish opinion is, who atzmai mishachshichai b'shiyarei haloi. He feels that, on the contrary, you should put some oil on it, umaleyu, and like that it should be brought on the Mizbeach. Ask the Gemara, how can Rav Shlokish take such a position? V'ksiv, doesn't the Torah explicitly say regarding the Karban Minchas Chayta, that should not have shemen or levina? Answers the Gemara, Rav Shlokish will say what that pasuk comes to teach us is there's two pshatim how to understand this Gemara's teretz. Pash pshat is that the Gemara is teaching us that Rav Shlokish says, the pasuk says that normally, as we have already discussed, when a karban mincha is prepared, they have the flour and the oil, and there's an entire procedure, as we've previously discussed, how they're put together and mixed together, and that shouldn't take place by the carbon minchas chayta. But if at a later time it's put on, it's fine. That's one way of understanding the Gemara's teretz. Another way of understanding the Gemara's teretz is that what Gemara means is, if it's put on at any time, with a set formula and a set recipe, that's what the Torah doesn't want should happen. But just to put some oil on at any time, according to this explanation, would be fine. So the Mefarshim ask, from where do they have oil to put on? You have to have oil to put on, and obviously this carbon minchas chayta doesn't have oil designated with it. So there are two explanations. Taisa says that normally when a carbon mincha is brought, that oil is brought, and we've discussed this concept previously, there's oil in a jug that they bring along, and oil typically adheres to the wall of the jug, so it accumulates back on the bottom some more oil. That's the oil that the Gemara means should be used, according to Rish Lakish, for the carbon mincha's chayta. The Shita Mekubetzes takes a different approach. We've learned that when a Metzairah goes through his purification process, so he puts blood on his right thumb and right toe and right ear, and then some oil, and then top of that oil is put, and some oil is also put on the head of the Metzairah, but there's still leftover oil from the like shemen that the Metzairah brought. That leftover oil is used here for the oil of a carbon miches chayte. So Mefarshim ask, if the Torah says not to use oil, so why would we just not take the Torah at face value? The Torah says not to use oil, why are we using oil? So I saw two different explanations in the Achronim. The Brisk Rav has a very practical reason. He says, even if it's a Karam Miches Chayta, we need to properly mix it together. And if you're going to try to mix the flour and the water to make a Karam Miches Chayta, it won't mix, it won't emulsify well. If you add oil, then it mixes better, and that's why Rish Lakish says add oil. It shouldn't crumble. Other achrayim I saw have a different pshat. Rav Shimon has already said earlier in our Gemara, in our Masechta, more than once, that it's a very interesting phenomenon. Here we have a person did an Aveira, and therefore he's bringing a Miches Chayta or Miches Kanos, and he ends up profiting. By regular carbon mincha, oil and levayna have to be brought along. And here, they have the savings that they don't have to bring the oil or the levayna. So Shimon said, shalaye karbana mahud. We don't want people who are bringing carbon because they didn't aver that it should be a nice carbon. So, say these achroinim. But we have a very unique situation. At the end of the day, the person who did the avera is profiting. So, to avoid this concern, What does the Gemara tell us? What does Rish Lakish say? To put the oil in as part of the formula and part of the recipe, we have a concept of Shloihei Karbonim Mehudar. To put it in later, and not in a set, specific manner, is fine. What would be a nafkamin, I was thinking, between these two pshatim? The Chafetz Chaim and the Sefer Likutei Halachos asked the following question, raises the following issue. Our Gemara is focused on if oil could be added to the Karbon Mechas Chayta. Rabbi Yochanan says no, Rish Lakish says yes. What about Levina? The Gemara doesn't discuss could Levina be put on the Karbon Mechas Chayta, or it should be put on. Perhaps it depends on these two pshatim. If we follow the approach of the Brisker Rav, that the reason that he says oil should be added is because that will make the carbon easily, the carbon mechah properly mixed. So that you could say on the oil. You can't say that on the levina. But if the explanation is as the other achronim say, because we want that he shouldn't save the cost of the oil and the cost of the levina, the cost of the oil, so we don't want him to save the cost of the levina. And then, Rish Lakish would not just say that the oil should be added, but the levina should be added as well. Ask the Gemara, I Eser Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, it says in a braisa, Chariv. Chariv means a carbon mincha that's dry, doesn't have oil. Shinis Arab Bebalol, that got mixed together with a carbon mincha that has oil. So, Tanakama holds Yakriv, you can be makriv both of them. Yudaimer lo yakriv. Yudah says no. So the Gemara says, so clearly, according to Yehuda, why lo yakriv? Because we're concerned that the carbon mincha that's supposed to be dry and not have any oil in it is going to have oil in it. So this clearly is against what Rish Lakish said. Because Rish Lakish says that it doesn't bother us if that carbon chariv has oil. Now, because my laf isn't not referring to a situation that the kaimitz the mechitz chayta, the Arab kaimitz the mechitz nadava. And yet, Rabbi Yehuda says they should be mixed together. And as the Rishonim go on to explain, even the Rabbanon, who are lenient, why are the Rabbanon lenient? As we learned in the previous year, because it is the opinion of the Rabbanon, that oilin ein mevatlin zezeh. The kabbonis that belong on the mizbeach, one is not mevatl the other. But if not for that concept, a special concept that we discussed in the previous year, even the Rabbanon would agree. But why? What are you concerned about? That the carbon mincha that's supposed to not have oil will end up having oil on it? So what? So what? Rish Lakish says it should have oil. That's the Gemara's question. So Mefarshim ask, why is this such a great question? Who says the concern, they ask, is that the carbon that's not supposed to have oil is going to end up having oil, which is a kasha on Rish Lakish. Maybe the concern is that the carbon that's supposed to have oil will be missing oil. Why will it be missing oil? Because some of that oil will be depleted and go under the carbon mincha. So that's the concern. So I saw three terutzim to this question. One terutz I saw to this question is that the Gemara seems to feel that both kabbonis are going to be disqualified. And the way we're explaining, only the bolul is disqualified, not the chariv. One answer. Another answer that I saw to this question is that if the concern was about the bolul and not about the chariv, let's look at the words of the braisa. The braisa speaks about chariv shnis arab bolul. So the focus is on the chariv. Why is the focus on the chariv? The focus should be on the bolul, if that's pshat in the braisa, as we're suggesting. And then I saw a third pshat, beautiful pshat. If the concern is that the carbon mincha that's not supposed to have oil now has oil on it, so that's why Rabbi Yehuda could understand why Rabbi Yehuda holds it becomes disqualified. Would Rabbanim would also agree if not for oil mevatlin zuzu. But if the concern is that the carbon that's supposed to have oil is missing oil, that's a concern that's easily rectified. Burn both kabbonis, and your oil will all be burnt. So it must be that what is the concern? That the carbon that's not supposed to have oil is having oil. But didn't Rish Lakish start to share today that that isn't an issue? On the contrary, says the Gemara, we're learning the case of the Brisa incorrectly. What is the case of the Braisa? An entirely different situation. It's a situation, Michas Parm Ve'elim, look, Michas Parm Ve'elim, the Michas Kvasim. The issue is a different issue. We spoke yesterday that in different Kabbonis, there are a different ratio of flour to oil. Michas Nadava, the ratio is 1 to 1. 1 Isarim to 1 Loigi. By Parm Ve'elim, there's a 2 to 1 ratio. For every Isarim, there's 2 Loigim. By Kvasim, the ratio is 3 to 1. For every Isarim, there's 3. And what happened here was that these two Kabbonis that have different ratios got mixed up and it messes up the balance. That's the concern. The concern, however, is not that the Michas Charev got oil in it, because that's fine. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, how can we explain that that's what the Braisa means? That case is already mentioned explicitly in the Braisa separately, because the Braisa says Michas Parm Ve'elim and Michas Kvasim. And then the Braisa says another case, a Charvishness Al of the Bolo, with a Tanakam, the Rabbanu Hod Yakriv, and Rabbi Yudayim Elo Yakriv. So doesn't that mean that they're two separate cases? And therefore, Charvishness Al of the Bolo cannot mean Michas Parm Ve'elim, that got mixed the Michas Kvasim? Says, well, that's not the way to understand. The way to understand is Purusha Kamafarim Shlo. Not that these are two separate cases. Charvishness Al of the Bolo is an explanation. Why is Michas Parm Ve'elim that got mixed up with Michas Kvasim an issue? Because their ratios are not the same. And when you compare the Michas Parm Ve'elim that has only the 2 to 1 ratio to the Michas Kvasim that has the 3 to 1 ratio, that's why you end up with a problem. Continues the Gemara. Bar Rava, Kaimit Shemitza Sham Nel Gabe Eitzim. You have a situation where regular Kaveh Mincha has oil in it. And there's a number of ways of learning the Gemara. We're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. Rashi says the shot in the Gemara is as follows. Some of the oil dripped out on the wood of the Mizbeach. So now, you're missing from the Karbon Mincha, because you don't have the whole amount of oil that you're supposed to have. And that's why the Gemara's question is, as we'll see in a moment, is that if you'll burn the wood along with the rest of the Karbon, with the rest of the Karbon Mincha, is that an adequate akrava? That's how Rashi learns. That's how we're going to learn. There are other Rishonim that have different Pshatim. Another Pshat that I saw the Rishonim say is, of course, if the oil dripped out of the wood and you're going to burn the wood with the Karbon Mincha, that would certainly be acceptable. You know why? A concept that I mentioned earlier in today's shir. Lo'nitna tayra l'malacha asharis. You can't avoid oil dripping. Oil, that's what happens. The question, the Gemara, is if oil dripped out of the wood onto the wood, and you don't end up burning that wood, will the Karbon Mincha still be kosher? A third pshat, which is the Rambam's pshat, is that we know that the halacha is, we're going to mention it in the shir in a moment, that normally if you put something on the Mizbeach to burn, and it flies off, we had the concept of Masechta Zvachim numerous times, poikin, you don't have to put it back on the Mizbeach. The question here is, if oil dripped out of the Karbon Mincha, and it somehow flew off the Mizbeach, what is the halacha? Does it have to be put back on or not? But again, we'll learn the Gemara like Rashi. By Rav, Karmit Shemitza Sham Nagaba Eitzim. If some of the oil dripped out from the Karmit onto the wood, Mahu, does that disqualify it or not? What is the question based on, says the Gemara? Chibura Oilim Ka'ilim Dami, Olaf Ka'ilim Damu. The fact that they're on the wood, which the Mincha is connected to, does it mean that the oil is there or not? Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Lav Hainad Rav Yochanan Rav Shlokish. Isn't this already the subject of a dispute of Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish? Ditmar. We learned from Masechta Zvachim. Hamala Evish Ein Bekazayis. We know that to be chayiv for Yotze, to be chayiv for bringing makrev a carbon outside the Azara, you have to bring a kazayis. Kazayis Batzer. Here, the meat itself doesn't have a kazayis. However, the etzem mashlim le kazayis. If you combine the bone on this piece of meat, you now have a kazayis. Rabbi Yochanan Mechayev, consider that you have a kazayis. Rish Lakish Amipotter, Rish Lakish says, no, you don't have a kazayis of meat, so you're not chayiv. And the Mechloikis was explained, Rabbi Yochanan Mechayev, because Chibur Oilim Koilim Dami, the bone that's connected to the meat combines with the meat to have a sheer kazayis. Rish Lakish Amipotter, because Chibur Oilim, Lavka Oilim Dami. So we see that this question, if something is connected, how do the halacha view it, is already the subject of a Mechloikis of Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Says the Gemara, these two questions do not necessarily travel together. Tabayla Rabbi Yochanan, our question could be a question still according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, and the question that our Gemara posed could be a question according to Rish Lakish. Tabayla Rabbi Yochanan, the question that we're discussing by Mincha could be a question even according to Rabbi Yochanan, because Atkan Lekam Rabbi Yochanan Hasam, where did Rabbi Yochanan say that something connected to the meat is considered like the meat by bone? Because Epsim, the mean of the Basahu. Bone, a meat, a piece of meat has bones in it. Avalhai, oil is not part of the wood. And oil is not necessarily one entity. The lahav, the mean of the kaimitsu, it's not part of the kaimits. So therefore, we won't apply the concept of chibur oilim kailim. Aydama, on the other hand, I feel a Resh Lakish. Even Resh Lakish. Like Kamar, Resh Lakish only said his din, that the bone cannot help combine to the sheer kazayas, ela be'etzem, the ba mefeshu, the parish, lab mitzvah lahaduri. Av shem de lab mefeshu, loy. It's a mouthful. What does it mean? So the Mefarshim say it can mean one of two things. One, it can mean a very simple thing. When you have meat and bone or whatever on a fire that we spoke about a moment ago, piken, that something should fly off is very normal. And therefore, says Rish Lakish, this connection of the basar and the bone is not really a very firm connection because it could easily be disconnected with some of it, with the bone flying off the Mizbeach. But oil doesn't fly off Mizbeach. And therefore, Resh Lakish will agree that the connection of the oil to the kaimitz and to the wood is a stronger connection and it can combine. That's one way. That's a pretty practical approach. There's a halachic approach. The halachic approach is, there is indeed a din of paikin. We mentioned this earlier. That if a piece of meat, a piece of bone, flies off the mizbech, you don't have to put it on. Where does the halacha say that? By pieces of meat. The halacha doesn't say it by oil. If the oil flies off, as unlikely as it is to happen, it has to be returned. So therefore, the connection of the oil is a much stronger connection, and Rish Lakish will therefore agree that Chibura Oilim by oil, we do say, even though we don't say Chibura Oilim, by Basar and Etzem. Oidoma, or we can indeed suggest, says the Gemara, the Lashna, that just like Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan argue by the meat and the bone, they'll have identical machlaikas here. The Gemara leaves it with a taiku. Says the Mishnah, Shtei Menachas Shlein Nikmetzu. We have two Karim Minchas that were not properly, the Karimitz wasn't taken off from both of them. Menes Arvu Zubazu. And somehow they got combined in one Keli. So says the Mishnah, if they were combined in a way, Im Yochel Likmet Bezubifnatzmai, if we could take off a separate Mitzah from each one, even though they're combined, but there's enough that's identifiably separate, that I could do two separate kmitzas, ksheres. Then we should do so, take off the kmitza and fine. Vim laf, but if not, psulis. So the Rishonim and the Achronim try to understand this Mishnah. What happened is like this. Let's say we have these two Karban Minchas in this big keli. And we have one Karban Mincha here on the right side, we have another Karban Mincha on the left side. And this Karban Mincha on the right side gets combined with the left side. We don't know how to where the line of separation is. So therefore we have no way of taking kaimitz from it. But there's enough on the extreme left to take off a kaimitz from the Karban Mincha on the left side. So the Mefarshim asked the obvious question, and Rashi really alludes to it. Why shouldn't we just take off the kaimitz from this one? Save one. Save this carbon. The other carbon, the one on the right side, I can't help. But at least the one on the left side. Say the Mefarshim, why doesn't the Mishnah allow us to do that? Because by doing that kaimitz, what you're essentially doing is, you're making one carbon kosher and the other carbon pasul. And to do a kaimitz that will leave you with one carbon kosher and one carbon pasul, and it's really deeper than that. Will we be allowed to eat the shrine of the kaimitz on the left side? No, we won't. Why won't you be able to eat the shrine and the kaimitz on the left side? Because you don't know where the shrine end and the other carbon mincha begin. Because that's the whole problem. We don't know where the carbon of the left side ends and the carbon of the right side begins. To take a kaimitz, knowing that when you're going to take the kaimitz, you won't be able to eat the shrayim, is unacceptable. Continues the Mishnah. Now we have another situation. You had a Karim Mincha, you properly took the Karmis from it. And then that Karmis got mixed into another Karim Mincha from which there was no Kamitza taken. The Loch is Loyakta. You shouldn't be Makter anything. Why should you not be Makter anything? Again, because what are you doing here? You have the Karmis which belongs on the Mizbeach. But if you're going to take the entire mix, but you can't identify what is the Kaimitz. So if you're going to take the entire mixture, you're going to end up putting on the Mizbeach something that doesn't belong on the Mizbeach. And therefore, Sheva Tais is better. So I saw a beautiful Kasha, and the Teretz is even nicer. So what do we have here? We have the essay to burn the Kaimitz. We have the Lois essay not to burn on the Mizbeach, or not to put on the Mizbeach something that doesn't belong in the Mizbeach. So why do we say essay like Lois essay? And that the mitzvahs say of burning the kaimitz should be doicha the leisa say of not putting on the mizbeach something that doesn't belong there. So I saw that Chemdes Daniel says a beautiful teretz. He says, when do we say esed doicha leisa say? When we have no option. Meaning, the Torah, one example, there are numerous examples. The Torah tells the kohen to wear an avnet, and the Torah tells us that the avnet has to be klein. So there's no way of avoiding the isser. If you have to wear an avnet and it has to be klein, you have to rely on Esed Deichelaisa say. If you would have been careful, and the carb and your kaimitz would have never gotten mixed into this other mincha, you wouldn't have any problem. So now, you are careless, even b'shayik, and you ended up in a situation that you should never ended up in, and now you want to be a lamdan, and say Esed Deichelaisa say. You can't use Esed Deichelaisa say to cover up your mistake, and therefore just leave it the way it is. However, says the Mishnah, from Hikta, if you did take this entire mixture and put it on the Mizbeach, although you shouldn't have done so, then Hector, at least the Kaimitz, the carbon milch from which the Kaimitz was removed, Zusha Nikmitza Olalabalam. That carbon was properly brought. However, the other carbon, a carbon manch is never considered properly having been brought if Lai Nikmitza, and therefore that carbon is not considered Labalam. Even though you ended up burning the entire carbon mincha, that isn't the way it's supposed to be burned. It has to first have the kaimitz separated from it. The separation of the kaimitz is an essential part of the procedure, which was skipped here. Another case, this Arav kaimitz b'shira, if the kaimitz got mixed in to its own shrine, that means you had this mixture, and you start off with a regular kaimitz, you remove the kaimitz, and then somehow that kaimitz now got mixed in back into the shrine, oy! It got mixed into Shrine of the Chaverta. Again, the Aloch is lo yakter. Because by being makter it, what are you doing? You're putting on the Mizbeach something that doesn't belong there. Then hikter, but if you do so, olalabalam. We've discussed many times in our shiurim. We think of nevela, correctly think, that what's nevela? It's a piece of meat that you're not allowed to eat. But nevela means a lot more than that. Nevela represents tumah. A piece of meat that's nevela is tumah. So says Rav Chisda, Nevela b'teila b'shchuta. We have the following situation. You have a piece of Nevela, meat. We'll make the case as simple as possible. One piece of Nevela meat fell into two pieces of Shchuta meat. And now the question is, if somebody touches this meat, will he be Tamei or not? So the halacha is that we apply Bittel. Am Rav Chisda, Nevela b'teila b'shchuta. She efshir the Shchuta Shatas Nevela. And there's a very fundamental question that the Rishonim discuss that touches all of Hilchus Bittel. What does it mean that the Nevela is bottled by Shchuta? What does the Nevela bottled by Shchuta mean? Does it mean that even if you touched all three pieces of meat, so for sure you touch the piece of that's Nevela, you'll still be tar. Why? Because Bittel says we follow the Raif. Or does Bittel say that if you only touched two pieces of meat. So Raif tells you that we assume that you touched the Shchuta meat. But if you touched all three pieces of meat, then for sure you touched the Nevela meat, and you're not going to be tar. Very fundamental machloikus Rishonim, it touches all areas of Hilchus Bittel. However, says Rav Chisda, Shchuta ain't a betel ben Nevela. Let's say you had the opposite situation, that you had two pieces of Nevela meat, and one piece of Shchuta meat, there the halacha is that the Shchuta doesn't become bottled in the Nevela. Why? She efshin in the Nevela, she tasa Shchuta. A a neveila can end up being a shluta, the kli misricha, because once the neveila decomposes, parchab tamasa, a piece of meat that decomposes no longer is tamei. So there's a number of points to make. The Brisker Rav says, why does the Gemara specifically use this example of a neveila as an example of something that could lose the shame neveila? Anything can become nifsal. So the Brisker Rav says as follows. When we speak about nifsal, there are two categories of nifsal. There's nifsal machilas adam, it's no longer humanly fit for human consumption, as nifsal machilas kalif. He says, for neveila to lose its status of tumah, it doesn't have to be nifsal machilas kalif. It's enough that it should be nifsal machilas adam. If we were looking for a case where it's nifsal machilas kalif, it's nothing. Something that's nifsal machilas kalif, the halacha doesn't view as an entity. Nifsal machilas adam is an entity, but still it loses the tumah. And therefore, since it loses the tumah, therefore, says the Gemara, and we're going to explain this very much in detail in a moment, that since the neveil, if the roiv is the neveila, but the miut is the shchuta doesn't become bottle, because the neveila can end up being in the same category as the shchuta. Why? Because the neveila could decompose. So there's two points I'd like to make. One is, why are we so quick to say that the neveila can become like a shchuta and a shchuta can't come like a neveila? A shchuta can become like a neveila. We all know the halacha of chanan, chatich naset neveila. If you cook the shchuta together with the neveila, then the shchuta will be neveila. So Mefarshim answer that that concept of chanan, of chatich naset neveila, is a concept in issa v'heter. If a piece of meat is kosher or not. We're not speaking about kashrus here. As I said at the beginning, we're speaking about tumah tahara. In tumah tahara, chatich naset neveila is not a factor. Another teretz is, of course, if you'll do something to the shchuta, you'll cook it together with the neveila, it becomes like the neveila. But a neveila to become like a shchuta, you don't have to do anything. You just have to let it decompose by itself. When the Gemara is saying that something can become like something else, it means that it can become like something else by itself with no human intervention. Another interesting question that the Shail Shachuvas Oinig Yontif discusses. Again, these are fundamental issues in Hilchas Bittel. What is the halacha? We know, we discussed this many times in our shiurim, that tzitzis have to be made lishma. What is the halacha? Let's say you have a number of packets of tzitzis that were made lishma, and you have one packet that was made shloi lishma. And that packet gets mixed up with the other packets. What's the halacha? Does that packet, could you put off any of those packets on your tzitzis? Of course not. Just because you say bittel, it doesn't mean that the tzitzis became kosher. So over here, when the neveila becomes bottle in the shchuta, that doesn't make the neveila into shchuta. How can we say that just because the neveila fell into shchuta, it should be treated like shchuta? So the Oinig Yontif answers, and he explains a very important concept. He says that indeed, something that was made shloi lishma through bittel cannot be lishma. Absolutely. But he says, here we're not trying to turn the neveila into shruta. What we're trying to do here is to know how do we treat the person that touched it. Do we treat him like he touched tar? Do we treat him like he touched tamei? Do we treat him like a suffix? That isn't a concept of change. That's a concept of how to react to a shayla. That falls into the category of holchanaka arayv. Very lumdish. Another interesting question that the Shef Shemaitza asks. He says the entire, and this is a very important concept in halacha. Where was bittel said? Where do we apply the concept of bittel, says the Shef Shemaitza? When iser falls into heter. Classical example would be a non-kosher ingredient falls into a pot of kosher ingredients. So that's what we say, bittel, if the proper requirements are met. Heter, we don't say bittel. And the reason, says the Shemaitz, is very understandable. Isser, we want to see disappear. Heter, we don't want to see disappear. Where is this relevant? La'aloch la'maisa. It's very relevant, la'aloch la'maisa. Let's say you'll have heter falling into isser. and you don't have enough heter to be mevatel the iser. But then, more heter falls in. And again, I'm not going to say you poured it in on purpose, because then you come into the shayla of mevatel nes lechatchila. If we say that the heter becomes bottle, so it's bottle. It can't be resurrected. If we say that right now I don't have the proper proportion, but it doesn't become bottle, that it disappears, so now if I have more heter there, that original heter is choyz v'nir, comes back to life. So ask the Shef Shemaitza back to our Gemara. The Shchuta fell into the Nevela. Shchuta is heter. So how does the Gemara want that the Shchuta should become bottle? Something that's mutter never becomes bottle. So there are two answers given. One answer is that, again, that's only a concept in Issur v'Heter. We're not discussing Issur v'Heter today. We're talking Tumah Tahara today. Another answer that the Mefarshim give is, where do we say all of these rules? We mentioned this concept in our previous year. When you have a situation of lach balach, when there's a real mixture, when liquids mix together, so you end up with a perfect mixture. Here we're not talking about a perfect mixture anyway, because it's pieces of meat. And there, the concept that heter doesn't become bottle doesn't apply. Rav Chanina Amar. Rav Chanina says just the opposite of Rav Chisda, and I'll explain it in a moment. Kosh Efshaliyos Kamayu ain't a bottle. The Kosh Efshaliyos Kamayu bottle. In other words, according to Rav Chisda, what do we look at? We look at the Mevatel. We look at the thing that is derived. And if the roiv can end up looking like the miyut, then we won't say bittel. And if the roiv can't end up looking like the miyut, we will say bittel. Rav Chisda suggests the opposite. We look at the item, we look at the minority item, the thing that should become bottle. And if the item can, if the item that's going to be bottle could be like the mevatel, then we don't say bittel. And if the item that's going to be bottle cannot be, then we do say bittel. So that's the machlokes of Chizda and Rav Chanina. Ask the Gemara. Let's try to understand this machlokes, and we'll work with this. Aliva the man. According to whom is this machlokes being stated? Aliva the Rabbanan. If we're trying to say this machlokes according to Rabbanan, Ha'amri, we learned in the previous year that it is the opinion of the Rabbanan that Olam Hudlo Vatli Bahadadi. The two things that belong to the Mizbeach and never mevatel each other. Ava mimba minoi, if you have two pieces of meat, if you have mimba minoi, they always become bottle. And this is a situation of mimba minoi, two pieces of meat. If we're trying to say, says the Gemara, that Rav Chanina and Rav Chisda are following the opinion of Rav Yehuda, ask the Gemara, Rav Yehuda basa chazusa azul. Rav Yehuda says, let's look at what we're talking about. And here, ask the Gemara, v'idi v'idi mimba minahu. We're talking pieces of meat. And pieces of meat are both the same, and therefore they should never be bittel. It makes no difference what's the roiv and what's the meat, and if the roiv could look like the meat or the meat could look like the roiv, what are all these issues relevant? Says the Gemara, the machlokes of Chanina of Chizda is according to Rav Chiya. The Tana of Chiya, and the veil of Shchuta, betel zubazu. The veil of Shchuta become bottle one or the other. Why? Because that's the opinion of the Rabbanan. The Tanakam is the opinion of the Rabbanan that hold the min b'minoi does become bottle. Rav Chia, become bottle and zeh each other. And now says Rav Chia, and a certain circumstance. Now says the Gemara, what's Rav Chia saying? Rav Chia leave the man. He leave the Rabbanan. If Rav Chia is saying is psak according to Rabbanan, that doesn't make sense, because the Rabbanan's opinion is olam hudlo mevatel adadi hamin b'mina bottle. So what's going on here? The leave the Yehuda, says the Gemara, come in the mean of Yehuda like bottle. So it makes no difference what's the shchuta, what's the roiv, what's the meat. Therefore, says the Gemara, Rav Chiya is following the opinion of Yehuda. But, says the Gemara, Rav Chanina, starting with Rav Chiya, says the Rajba, and going on to Rav Chanina and Rav Chisda, they're qualifying what Rav Yehuda said. The key come Rav Yehuda min b'mina like bottle. When did Rabbi Yehuda say, min b'mina doesn't become bottle? Hecha, he made a broad statement. Hanimila hecha da'evel l'mashu l'kavasei. When the two minim could be the same. Avo hecha d'loy efshloy l'mahevel kavasei. But when the two minim cannot end up being the same way, then Rabbi Yehuda will agree that even though it's a min b'minay, it's bottle. So now, as the Rajb explains, Rav Chiya is putting a knetch, he's putting a disclaimer, so to speak, to Rabbi Yehuda. In defining min b'minay, it isn't like we would think, I have two pieces of meat, and it's automatically min b'minay. There's another factor to take into consideration. Could the one end up looking like the other? That is what Rav Chiya adds to Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rav Chanina and Rav Chisda go a step further. What are they going to do? They're coming to argue how to define this line, this phrase, Barkam Iflagi. And the Machlokes of Rav Chisda and Rav Chanina is as follows. The Rav Chisda Sover, Basma Vata Lizlinen, we look at the Roiv, as I said earlier in this year. If the Roiv could end up looking like the Miyot, if the Roiv could look up like the Miyot, then it doesn't become Batal. And therefore, if Shchuta fell into Nevela, the Shchuta doesn't become Batal, because the Nevela could end up looking like the Shchuta, and because when it gets decomposed, and it remains a situation of Mimba Minai, Rav Chanina Sover, Rav Chanina on the other hand holds Basa Batal as Linen. We look at the minority. And if the Nevela is the Miyot, since the Nevela could be like the Shchuta, that will not become Batal. But since the Shchuta is not like, can never end up being like the Nevela, if the Shchuta is the Miyot, the Shchuta will indeed become Batal. So what is the Machloikis all about? Just to continue with our Rajba. The Machloikis between Rav Chanina and Rav Chisda is what is more of a situation of Min B'minay. And they have a different perspective if you look at the Mevatal or you look at the Batal. Ask the Gemara. And this is how it comes to our Gemara. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Shtei Menachos Shloim Nikmetzu, if you have two Kavim Michas that the Kaimitz wasn't removed, then this Arva Bezu Bezu, and now they get mixed together. So the Mishnah said, Im Yachal Likmet Mezu B'fnei Atmai, Mezu B'fnei Atmai, Ik you move your Kaimitz from each one separately, Ksheiris. Vim Lav, Psulish. Ask the Gemara, let's think about this case. V'hocha, in our case, Kivin the Kaimitz L'mechada, as soon as you take off the kmitza from one, idach havalei shrayim, the rest remains shrayim. V'loy kamavatli shrayim l'tivla. And what the Mishnah is saying is that the shrayim of the first mincha will not be mavatl the other mincha from which the kmitza was not removed from. Ask the Gemara, why not? Mani, whose opinion does this Mishnah represent? I rabbanan. Only things I put on the Mizbeach. This doesn't belong to the Mizbeach because the Kaimitz hasn't been removed. Hamim B'minay will be bottle. And this is a situation of Mim B'minay. Why doesn't it become bottle? The Shirayim are a lot less than the other carbon from which the Kaimitz hasn't been removed. Elip Shita, whose opinion does our Mishnah represent? It represents the opinion of Yehuda. So continue to Gemara. Bishlam Lamandam Abasa Bottle Azlinen. We look at the minority piece. L'man of a boss of bottle is linen. Bottle, have a kamavatl. Here, the bottle, the part that we want to become bottle, which is the shrayim, can end up looking like the mavatl. Why? Bishlam l'man of a bottle is linen. Bottle, have a kamavatl. The comments from Idach, when we'll take off the comments from the other carbon, it also will be shrayim. Ella asked the Gemara. Lamandama, Basam of Atal is leaning, Shirayim, could the Shirayim ever look like Tevil? The Shirayim can never look like Tevil. Once they're Shirayim, they can't go back to being Tevil. Lema, so shouldn't our Mishnah be a Raya that we look at the bottle, not at the Mavatal? And therefore our Mishnah should be a Raya that Rav Chiya is incorrect? Answer the Gemara, there is a different Teretz altogether. Because we have a Teretz based on Rav Zeira's statement, which we're going to see soon in the Gemara even more, Dam Rav Zeira, the Torah uses the words Haktar B'Kaimitz. Now that the Torah uses the words Haktar B'Kaimitz is very understandable, because the Kaimitz is burnt in the Mizbeach. V'nemar, and the Torah uses the word Haktar B'Shrayim, explains Rav Zeira, Ma Haktar Omur B'Kaimitz, En HaKaimitz Matal Es Chaveroi. Everybody agrees that one Kaimitz is not Mevatel the other Kaimitz, because even the Rabbanan agree, Ein Oilem Mevatel Zu Azu, Af haktara amur b'shrayim, ein shrayim v'atlam sukaymitz. A special din that was said here. Another question. Next case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, has kaymitzness arev b'mincha, shloim nikmitzah, if a kaymitz got mixed up together with a mincha that wasn't, kmitzah wasn't taken, lo yakter. So he shouldn't be makter at all. V'mhikta, and if you did the improper thing, zushinik mitzah, the carbon from which the kaimitz was removed, al labalim. V'zosh lainik mitzah l'oilim ba'alim. Ask the Gemara, but let's think about this case. You're putting the kaimitz up on the mizbeach together with the carbon mincha from which there was no kaimitz removed, which is called tevel. So why don't we have a situation, ask the Gemara, why don't we have a situation that become that the tevel should be mevatel the kaimitz? Yet our Mishnah clearly teaches us that the kaimitz retains its identity. The loy kam mevatel it tevel le kaimitz. And again is the question, Mani, who is the tan of our Mishnah? I'm Rabbanan. If you're going to say the Rabbanan, Hamri, their opinion is oilim hodl mevatel hadadi. But here we don't have two oilim. The tevel doesn't belong on the mizbeach. I Hamri oilim hodl mevatel hadadi. Hamim b'minay batel. Ella, it's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So says the Gemara. Bishlam l'man namah baso mevatel is linen. Then we look at the roiv. What is the roiv? The tevel mevatel have a kabotel. The kaput the chazal mikvitz minay. Because the carbon mincha, even though I don't have the ability to take off the kaimitz, because there's a mixture here, potentially, if we knew how to separate the kaimitz from it, it would be a candidate that the kaimitz should be removed. Bishlam basam mevatel is linen, mevatel have a kabotel. The kaput the chazal mikvitz minay, and therefore it's a situation of leib min b'minoy, and according to Yehuda, min b'minoy is not bottle. Elamandam abasa bottle is linen. We look at the minority. Ask the Gemara. Kaimitz mi kahavik tevel. Could the kaimitz ever turn into tevel? Lema. So should our Mishnah again be rai against Reb Chiya? Answers the Gemara. Hanam kud Reb Zera. That is a special limud that shirayim and kaimitz never become bottle. Tashma. The next case. Tashma. And this arv kaimitz b'shirayim shel chaverto. If kaimitz got mixed up in the shrine of another carbon, lo yakter. V'mhikter os labalim. If you were makter it, the balim get credit. Now, here, ask the Gemara, we have a much stronger case. V'hocha, lo have a mevatel kabotel. The kaimitz can never be like shrayim, and the shrayim can never be kaimitz. And yet, lo kamevatel shrayim lo kaimitz. So again, it can't be the opinion of Rabbanan, because Rabbanan say, only oilin, there's no bittel. Here, the shrine aren't oilim. According to Yehuda, and as the Rishonim explained, here the question is both on Rav Chiya and Rav Chisda. Because no matter what you look at, the mevatel or the bottle can't be like the mevatel cannot be like the bottle, and yet the Mishnah says that we don't apply the concept of bittel. Says the Gemara, here is where Rav Zeira said his explanation. Nemak tar b'kayim, so nemak tar b'shrayim. Ma'at tarom b'karetz, en kamis mevatel z'chaveroi. Even if it's not technically, even according to Yehuda, situation a min b'minay. Toshma, tivla b'ketzach. If somebody put spices into his matzah, in Yonah D'Yoyma, or tivla b'ketzach, he spiced his matzah. Ketzach is cumin, shumshumin is sesame, or b'komini tavlin, or any other type of matzah, kshera, matzahi. Because says the Brisa, it's considered matzah. El shenikra matzah mutabels. It's called a spiced matzah. Kusata daitach. So the Gemara that Havamin is assuming the apushla tivlin, that you put on a lot of spices, not just a little. The apushla tavlin tfeim matzah. Bishla l'mandama asking my boss a bottle mezlinen that we look at the minority bottle have a kemevatel. Here the matzah can end up being like the spices. Why? The chima apshir, because when the matzah decomposes, have like a tavlin. The tavlin aren't matzah, and the spices aren't matzah. Elamandam abosim avatel is linen. We look at the spice. Tavlin miyavaka matzah. Can you ever turn tavlin into matzah? Answers the Gemara. The entire premise of the question was that you had more tavlin than matzah. Hacha maiskinen. The upish like tavlin. That you didn't put on tavlin. Rather, the situation here is the rubber matzahi. You have mostly matzah, and then you have a little spice, like butler, and that's why the halach is there is no betel. Daikanami, what's the word of brisa? Matzahi shlenikra matzah mutabelis. So this opens up a very important question. Machlokes Rishonim how to learn the Gemara. Here the Gemara is clearly teaching us that you could put spice into your matzah. So we have a whole new matzah industry. Matzahs with spices. What's the halacha? So there's a very big machlokes Rambam and Rav at how to understand the Gemara. The Rambam says, indeed, the halachi is that you could put spices into your matzah. The Rav says, of course not. He says, putting spices into matzah could cause the dough to become chametz very quickly. The Mishnah Berurah says, even the smallest particle of pepper could cause chimutz. The Ravid explains that it's referring here to a situation where the spice was put on after the dough was already made. But if you're going to put it on in an earlier state, then for sure that matzah may be chametz and is not acceptable, which is al minik. And not only is it al minik, but it's the basis for a very famous question. The water that's used for the matzah, so can you use tap water? I'm not going to go into the issue of mayim shlonu. But what's the problem? In a lot of places, tap water has chlorine in it, or has fluoride in it. And we're learning that according to the Ravid, we have to be concerned about any chemical creating a situation of chimutz. And therefore, the minig in all bakeries is to use water that we know has no chemicals in it. Because just like the Ravid says, spices could cause chimutz, so too water with any chemical could cause chimutz.